And I haven't tested my special team skills in front of thousands of fans. Well, hundreds of fans for them, I guess. But yeah, still, you have TV cameras. I mean, I know it's ACC Network, but somebody's watching somewhere or streaming it illegally. So there's pressure.
Listener, you're joining us live midstream with myself, Zlatan, and Zeus Apollo. And we're discussing if any of the Florida Gators mod team could reasonably play for Florida State on their football team this year.
I mean, needless to say, it goes without saying that it... Wow, that's redundant. It goes without saying that, that nobody would want to play for them, but like, is there a reasonable chance that one of us could outplay a current Florida State starter?
I have nominated Gary for an offensive line spot.
I think a few of us probably could take the old line spots. Just find the tallest, the widest.
I mean, like, from what I understand, Mose is a fairly decent sized guy. So, I mean, like, he could play a number of positions, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know if his hips are wide enough for offensive line.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he is known for his narrow hips.
This is common within the mod team. We've discussed many times. He can't find jeans to stay on. He's got to wear a belt or suspenders, or they just slide right off.
That actually, it reminds me, this past week I watched Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time in a couple of years. And I realized that because I haven't cut my hair since like August, and because I've been growing out a mustache throughout November, that I'm really starting to look like Matthew McConaughey with AIDS.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
No, yeah, no, you should.
But I did.
You should laugh at that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just eat up at Thanksgiving and maybe shave or something. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
well, it's really the hair situation is what's fueling this fire currently.
You got a big 10-gallon hat to wear or something? I mean,
I should just like roll with this look in general. Get some aviators.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
Start rooting for Texas.
Okay, that's a little gross.
Too far, man. Too far. Yeah. All right. Well.
Oh my God! It's so juicy.
I added a couple new ones since last week.
I'll be looking forward to them. I'm sure there's some good ones in there.
I don't actually remember what they are.
Just remember that
it's
if like there is...
you got a problem with concentration.
Just remember that if there isn't a natural time to fit them in... Oh, that's a good one. If there isn't a natural time to fit them in, just, you know, play them whenever. Like, apropos of nothing.
Yeah, preferably over people whenever they're trying to talk.
Yeah, when somebody makes a pick that you disagree with, just, like, spam them out.
God, if I had a gun with two bullets and I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and
Edgar,
I would shoot Edgar twice.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That's good. That's good. Oh, God. I don't know when you use it. That's just like drop it whenever.
No, yeah, right.
That's classic. Yeah, don't let my wife know about that concentrate one. She might like bust that out constantly. That's like an hourly thing right there. We playing football this weekend?
As far as I know, I don't know.
I saw a report today that the Kentucky's got 18 players out potentially,
and
And then 10 coaches out, and they said COVID injuries, tracing, all that. So that's just combined. I don't know.
Jesus.
Yeah, but what's today? Today's Wednesday. So,
wow. Yeah, that's a maybe then.
Couple days we got to survive without losing too many more. Yeah, they said they're late in the running kind of low. Yeah, the SEC just worked so hard to get everything rescheduled and to fit in everything, and now that's going to get thrown to hell if another game gets canceled.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Hey, Hammer.
Hey.
Welcome, Hammer. You made it.
It's the worst traffic of all time.
You in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit of a way of life.
Kind of what you get, yeah. I mean, you sort of asked for it just being there. That is 100% the reason I live in Jackson. Avoid the traffic.
Yeah. So, did you guys listen? to the thing I posted that we should use at some point to talk about our defense?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I might try to work it in.
That's what she said.
I think those like those, like what those, like those were like 6-7 seconds is like, perfect to describe our defense.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's very apropos. I guess. Well, shoot. I'm already recording, so I'll just insert it here. Pause for effect. Yeah.
That's good.
So
yeah.
There, our defense is full of holes like Swiss cheese.
Ooh. Boy.
What the fuck?
Isn't it working?
Like a bathroom stall at Grog House.
Yeah. So I guess we'll dive into the Vanderbilt review with that.
Wait, let me hop off before you do. I only had enough time for this.
Okay. All right. Thank you for joining us.
What did you even do?
He warmed the crowd up.
Okay.
He did. Did a great job. Is there anything you need to plug?
You giving half off Z jobs for Black Friday?
That's what she said.
All right. Later, Zeus. Zeus is out.
So he's gone. He's out on that.
All right.
All right. So yeah, Vanderbilt. We kind of sleptwalked through that one.
Yeah, I'd agree. It was. I mean, it was never one that was in doubt. Well, maybe a little bit of doubt, but yeah. Just I mean, both sides of the ball really just looked rusty. And when our defense looks rusty, I mean, it's an ugly thing.
I don't know. Like, I guess you're due a couple of those games every year from a college football team, and it's probably best to send in that performance against a team like Vanderbilt. You know, and I guess there's also, you could ascribe some of it to the different routine with getting to the stadium late and not really utilizing the locker room at all at any point. You know, it was just a weird game, and we got a win, and that's the important part.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing the fan base go from monumentally insane, which I will take and admit that I was part of that initial reaction, to the halftime, and then seeing them go, okay, actually, we're actually good again. So after the halftime is over. But yeah, I don't know. It was a very sloppy game, very lethargic, almost seemed like they really didn't care. And I'm surprised we actually put off as many points as we did, considering the performance of our team by halftime.
I disagree a little bit that the reaction was insane. I mean, I think the reaction was on par with giving up 10 first quarter points to a team that has scored 3 total first quarter points through the entire year to this point. And is not just the worst team in the SEC this year, but I mean, this might be the worst SEC team that we've played in a number of years. Arkansas last year was probably worse than this year's Vandy team, but I mean, they're pretty damn bad.
And I don't want to put words in Hammer's mouth, but maybe a better way to call it is it's extreme. We had some extreme reactions, and I think justifiably extreme too, because yeah, we were down 10-7 after the first quarter, which, as you were mentioning, is insane when playing a team as bad as Vanderbilt. Like, I could understand even going down right away. Like, at this point, we expect to give up a touchdown right away. And as our coach just likes to sit back and he's like, okay, well, you know, I'll give you a touchdown, but I get to see what you're doing and then I'll react. You know, reactive better than proactive. I've learned it all in my books. But yeah, it's being down 10-7 at the end of the quarter was incredibly frustrating. Not many other ways to put it. And, yeah, it was overall just a frustrating game. The ending, obviously, where we decided to pull Trask in favor of Emory Jones and let him get the touchdown and that multi-game 4-touchdown streak that Trask had been building. Also frustrating because that takes away another talking point for the Heisman.
I haven't seen so many people get so angry about a touchdown before.
Oh, that's the angriest I've ever been after a score. I mean,
like, literally, we scored. Everyone was like, "God damn it, fuck you, Dan Mullen." And I'm like, and I'm not watching the game at that moment. I'm like taking a shit or something. So I'm like, "What the fuck just happened?" And yeah, that was kind of funny. I haven't seen that many people get angry.
I would say that made me more angry than most touchdowns we've given up in my entire career of watching the Gators. I mean, it was up there.
It's so the thing is, like, if you're just going to pull Trask out and put in Emery there, okay, I can deal with it. I probably wouldn't do that up 14 at that point in the game, but it's defensible. But then it's like Mullen is aware of the need to pad the stats and, you know, try to feed the Heisman hype. And so we put Trask back in up 21 with like 3 minutes left, and we're like throwing the ball downfield. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, are you trying to pad the stats or not? You're trying to pad the stats, don't put in the second string guy randomly throughout the game.
I mean,
like, just wait and play him at the end of the game.
Yeah. This sounds crazy, but almost seems like Dan Mullen really doesn't give a fuck like about those stats. Like I'm sure he'd probably like to have saying that, you know, he's coached a Heisman winner. He's two Heisman winners now, you know, but like part of me also thinks he really doesn't care. And that's probably why you put Emery in.
Here's the thing is, like, whether he cares or not, stats and records last until they're broken. And this one would have been a tough as hell one to beat. Like, I mean, how much are we talking about Joe Burrow now and like Kyle Trask, like matching up to him? But I mean, that's just giving LSU and Burrow and that offense more hype and more exposure, more publicity. So we're stealing it from ourselves. And yeah, I mean, while the individual play of putting in Emery right there isn't the most frustrating thing, it's just the fact that we didn't seem to make an attempt to, yeah, I mean, we sort of made this half-assed attempt at the end to pad the stats, but again, it was like he was trying to pad yards instead of touchdowns, and I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me at all.
It feels like a missed opportunity, and missed opportunities infuriate me.
But what was really infuriating was that we actually had a couple opportunities to get that touchdown. Also, I think Copeland ran a poor route and would have been wide open, and he missed out on that one because I think Trask threw him open, and that was a 50-yard bomb he could have added to his stat sheet. Yeah.
Future undrafted free agent Jacob Copeland. That's
if he comes out, then yes indeed.
Thus begins our trash talking Copeland into being a borderline All-American wide receiver next year campaign.
Yes.
Thank you for kicking that off.
We're gonna do exactly what we did for Tony, for you, Copeland. So hope you are happy.
We put a lot of work into making Tony as good as he is this year. So yeah. Relentless effort from us. We're going to give it our all this coming season.
And to think how good Whitmore would be if both you guys joined me in the trash Whitmore train at the beginning
of
the season.
It's not time yet. It's not time.
Okay.
But we need to find his off-season, I don't care about football thing. Now, Tony had his rap career. Copeland has his whining on every social media outlet possible.
He's got his Crocs.
What does Whitmore do?
I don't know. What does Whitmore do? I don't. Oh, fuck. What was that?
It's like you got a problem with concentration.
I do, actually.
Indeed.
Because I don't know what just fell down. Oh, shit. Okay. That's what it was. Sorry.
Anyways, I don't have a ton to say about this game. Yeah, we were sleepwalking through it. It's not like I don't think we learned a ton outside of Dan Mullen doesn't care about padding stats in the record books.
Well, it looked like we were playing super safe, too. Like, safe defense. Like, Dan Mullen's like, whatever, we'll sleepwalk our way and still beat these guys. So, I mean, I'm more interested to see what we do against Kentucky, because while Kentucky isn't that good, they've got some guys on both sides of the field that can be, you know, pretty impactful. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know. But, you know, their defense has shown that they can, you know, lock down like, you know, Georgia to 14 points, but then they got actually eviscerated by Alabama. So who knows, you know, who we're going to be playing up against this weekend, if we even play them, because it looks like they have a bunch of people out with COVID.
I've got one last thought on the Heisman thing. I've seen a lot of people in the fan base really dismissive of the criticism of, oh, well, it's just one touchdown. It kind of reminds me of with recruiting, you know, the like, oh, we didn't get the 5-star. Well, I guess we better shut down the program. And it's like, that's not what anyone is saying.
You sound exactly like how I think they sound.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't think a lot of our fan base grasps that, like, the national media doesn't want to give Trask this award. Like, they're going out of their way to find excuses to downplay what he is doing. And perhaps it comes down to winning it on the field in Atlanta versus Mac Jones, but it doesn't have to. I mean, like, there's been plenty of players in the past few years who have won the Heisman with just like outrageous stats on far more mediocre teams than this Gator team. I mean, shit, Tim Tebow, 2007. That Gator team was much more mediocre than this year's Gator team. Lamar Jackson. You know, there's a number of examples where if you just like put up enough numbers and put up eye-popping stats, they can't find excuses to take away from your accomplishments. And so, yeah, every touchdown matters.
Especially in a season like this, where like anything could happen any game. Like, you don't know when you're going to lose games. You have other guys who have different numbers of games they're playing. So they can manipulate things even more so. And like, you have two quarterbacks who are going 1-2 in the draft, like guaranteed. So, I mean, those are the guys they want to give it to. It's just
right. We're
playing from behind there.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean.
Okay. Any further thoughts on Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt sucks.
Yeah.
Derek Mason getting fired?
No.
He's not fired yet. Yeah. So
he's not going to get fired because the Tennessee Vanderbilt game, which was supposed to be this week, has been rescheduled, and he's going to find a way to win that game and get Pruitt fired.
Which would be wonderful. Well, not Pruitt getting fired, but Vanderbilt winning that game would be fantastic.
It would be very funny. Yeah. Okay. So Kentucky, if this game goes, what are we expecting to see?
I expect a lot of frustration on our part. We're playing against an offense who really hasn't done shit, but there's a quarterback who can run. So I just expect it to be like 3rd and 15 and for him to just randomly find the wide open zone receiver, like just like, or like right in the middle of our zone because he's like able to scramble around and the defensive line can't catch him. So yeah, he'll run for a few long third downs. He'll throw for a few. It's going to be frustrating. I expect it to be similar to last week where we give up, say, about 20 points or so, which is probably double the amount of points we should give up. And, we'll score a bunch and win decently handily. But, again, we won't learn anything new. We won't show the improvement I'm looking for yet. That's what I expect.
Yeah. I'm expecting it to be low, like low scoring relative to what we've seen. I'm kind of thinking that, like, offensively we might see some more of what we did against Vandy. I'm thinking that we're going to kind of turtle our way through the rest of the regular season as much as possible. And I think we're going to be very run heavy in this game relative to what we've done because Kentucky kind of plays, drawing from Dr. Marty's advanced statistical breakdown, which you should go and check out if you haven't already. I'll link it in the show notes. Kind of seems like they play to take away the pass and are forgiving against the run. Kind of they play to take away explosive plays. And so I suspect we're going to see a lot of taking 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards all the way down the field.
Yeah, I really don't expect to see like anything crazy. I think we're going to probably coast for the next three games just because all three opponents aren't necessarily good enough to beat us if we were playing, like, you know, the full strength is the wrong word, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, because I think Dan Mullen wants to keep as much stuff hidden as he can for Alabama because he knows that that's going to be the toughest game we're going to play probably the whole season, even if we make the playoffs, because Alabama looks pretty good this year.
Yeah.
What is that music?
Is there...
Oh, that might be on my end.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like an opera. Like, Zlat's about to get murdered by some assassin playing, you know, Ave Maria or whatever it is.
It's a delightful background track for the listener. It sets a mood. Okay, so I don't know. Like, what else on Kentucky?
Kentucky's a bad team, and they're probably going to score 20 points on us, and we're all going to get mad about it again, and our defense is going to suck, and our offense is going to be good, and I expect to see more Emory Jones in this game than we did probably in any game previously, just because I think Kyle Trask is going to go out there, throw a couple touchdowns, and then Dan Mullen's going to sit him because he doesn't want to get him hurt. That's what I'm predicting.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Especially when we get Kyle Pitts back. Honestly, with getting Kyle Pitts back, we could be up by like 21 points in the first half and then just have Emory Jones play the next second half of the game. So hopefully, you know, Trask can perform at a high level and throw for over 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half, because I don't see him playing that much unless it's a close game.
Yeah, we kind of predicted that for the Vanderbilt game, that he'd only get about a half of playing time. So based on that, I'm going to expect him to play most of the game, because I think it'll be a little too close for comfort. And I mean, while we did see Mullen pull Trask in the red zone, I think part of that really was trying to keep Emory happy, despite our frustration with it. I don't think Mullen's trying to keep the stats down. I do think he likes padding the stats. It's just he's not padding the ones that he should be padding like he did last game. So I think Trask plays a good bit still and ends up getting about 300 yards or so. And, you know, probably he'll probably get 4 or 5 touchdowns this game.
Okay. Yeah, especially with Pitts back.
I think Kentucky is a much better team than Vanderbilt. And, well, you know, I guess it depends on what Kentucky ends up looking like with their potential losses to COVID. But, you know, Eddie Grant has had Todd Grantham's number to some extent. And so, you know, that's always worrisome. Are we ready to make a score prediction here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, unless we have anything else to say about this, it's just, yeah, it's a weird year. Kentucky's not as good as they have been in the past. And then, yeah, I'm not even sure who's actually out for them right now.
Right.
So it should be interesting.
Yeah. So, I guess I'll go first. I'm going to go, I see this as like a 42-20. Yeah. I'm going to go 42-20. Gators win, probably ends up playing out somewhat similarly to Vanderbilt, where they're just kind of hanging out like 2 touchdowns back for a significant portion of the game.
Okay. Slat, you want to go?
Yeah. I'm actually pretty close to Toph there. I'll go 38-24.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's going to be a little close for comfort and a couple field goals in there.
I'm going to say 38-21. I was going to say 38-24, but I can't say exactly what you said.
You can. If it's the right score, it's the right score. Clearly, I'm on the exact score, so might as well just jump on.
I think it's going to be very similar to the South Carolina game, where it's just a little bit closer than we want it to be, but it's not that we're concerned we're going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So do we – what?
Do you guys want to briefly just talk real quick about this amazing – Florida State Clemson debacle that's been going on for the last week?
Sure.
Like,
sounds like you have some thoughts.
I mean, I've already pulled my thoughts out, but I think Dabo Swinney is just, I don't know what's happening to him. He's losing his mind.
And is he any different than he has been? I feel like this is just who he's been the whole time. He said shit like this before.
I think he has, but I don't think he's like doubled down this intensely and this many times before on previous things. Like, I feel like this is something that he's actually taking very personally. And I don't know, man, like I'm
like the Michael Jordan meme.
Yeah.
We showed up, yeah. They canceled and I took it personally.
I took that personally.
like, I don't know if I was Florida State, I'd be fucking terrified to play Clemson again now.
Oh, because, my God. Because
Dabo is going to, he's not going to give a fuck. He's going to be like, what's that game that was it like Georgia Tech versus like Cumberland some shit where it's like 135-0 or something? Like, that's what Dabo's gonna be aiming for.
Well, so what I think is gonna happen here, I've heard this theory floated that he's so upset because the ACC has a rule about like you have to have played so many games to qualify for the ACC championship game, and so he's worried that they're gonna have to like reschedule this game and play it the week before the ACC championship game just to get it like enough games on the schedule to qualify for the championship game. And he doesn't want, he wants a week off going into that championship game.
Right.
Keep players healthy. Why he's so pissed.
Yeah.
And like, I could see it, but you know, either way, I think this is going to be delayed retribution. Like if they end up playing that game, he's going to play the starters as little as possible and then just like sit them on the bench. But next year, oh, boy, like, you know, bring the Vaseline, because it's going to be a tough 60 minutes for next year's Florida State team.
Yeah, because I mean, the DJU guy, I mean, he's probably not going to be drafted like Trevor Lawrence is, guaranteed one overall, but that dude is tough to bring down. Yeah, I could see him running up that score. This is like the best way I can describe it, because I had mentioned before, I don't think it's any different. Like, just this is just Dabo being Dabo, but this is like him from 2016, but with actually, or like 2015, but way more job security. Like, he knows he can say anything, and Clemson isn't going to do shit. The ACC probably won't do shit either. Like, he kind of runs that conference right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the golden goose.
The cash cow. Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I think I told this a lot on Discord. Like, I kind of feel like Florida State made the right decision here, even though I don't necessarily agree with the decision. You know, Clemson brought a guy who had symptoms to practice and then onto a plane, and the guy tested positive. Like, if it was the other way around, and Clemson said they don't want to play Florida State because of that, like, no one would be bashing Clemson saying they're scared, you know? Like,
I would. Yeah. I mean, everybody would, I think. I think part of this is that people like to say they're scared and they bash. I mean, that's just what they're going to do, especially rivals. Like, that's just, I mean, Florida and Miami fans are the ones that are doing a lot of the they scared, and it's, you know, it's all in good fun. I feel like Florida State would all be doing the exact same they scared thing if Clemson had canceled. Maybe
I sort of split the difference here, where, like, I think it's reasonable that Florida State canceled because of, you know, like, the situations we've seen, like, what, you know, how our COVID outbreak happened was basically what happened to Clemson.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, if you play against them and then it causes a huge outbreak on your own team, that's a gigantic fucking PR problem. Like, you know, that you knew about this and you didn't do anything to stop it and blah, 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 blah. So I understand why they would do that. But at the same time, if they were good, they don't cancel this game. Like, they are dodging them. If they were good and felt like they had a chance to keep it within two or three touchdowns, they wouldn't have canceled that. But they knew they were going to get their cheeks split. So, you know, yeah, they found a way to get out of it.
I'm in that boat where I don't think these are two mutually exclusive things. Like, right, it can be reasonable that they want to cancel, but I am 100% convinced. Yeah, if they're fighting for a playoff spot and they're like, you know what, we need to have this win to put on our resume to earn that, they'd 100% play it.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about the college football playoff rankings came out?
Yeah, let's talk about it. My frustrations are with the mid-level rankings. The top's pretty standard. Although, I don't know. I mean, I'm all about, like, yeah, if you've been there a few years in a row, you've earned it and all that. But I don't see why Clemson should be ahead of anybody, really. I mean, I think they're getting some benefit of the doubt right now when, you know, they have a loss and no real victories, right? Who have they beaten?
Yeah.
I mean, we have better resume than them. So,
yeah,
just saying.
I think that's fair.
We lost to a top five team and actually beat some people. Clemson has done shit. So, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I don't have any issues with being behind A&M. I know some people don't like the whole head-to-head thing, but, I mean, A&M's only lost is to an elite team, and they beat us. So it's not like they haven't done anything, really. They beat us.
No, and it's not like they have been playing bad since we played them either, you know?
Yeah, they've killed some teams. They've looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any disagreements with the top eight. Yes. Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Florida, we're at sixth. Then Cincinnati and Northwestern, seventh and eighth behind us. I think that's all pretty reasonable.
I guess it's good to lay it out for people who haven't seen it yet. Yes, this is informative stuff. But after that, if I'm not mistaken,
that's where the issues begin.
Is that where Georgia pops in?
Yep, Georgia at
what
nine.
What the fuck?
Like, based on fucking what?
Based on number of five stars, which clearly matters.
I mean, like, legitimately, who have they beaten that is impressive?
And on top of this, like, to all the people who like to down recruiting, just another reason why recruiting is important. Like, you get this kind of benefit of the doubt. If you're just landing five star after five star, you get to lose two shitty games and still be number nine and potentially in the playoff hunt if the right things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally, they could make it if they, like, I don't even know how they'd make it though. Unless
we're not going to talk about that. But just the fact that they're there.
Well, it annoys me that they're ranked. Like, as I don't like Miami, but Miami's one loss is to Clemson this year. They're 7-1. They've killed almost everyone else they've played. Like, I don't understand why they're behind Georgia. That's weird to me, you know?
I mean, well, Miami has, I wouldn't say they've killed almost everybody else they've played. They've played some close games against some pretty mediocre teams as well. But yeah, I mean, I would definitely have them above Georgia.
Indiana.
I would have Indiana for sure. I mean, like, what is that? Like, they're 4-1. They've beat some decent teams, and their only loss is at Ohio State by, like, whatever it was. Was it a touchdown?
I think it was a touchdown, yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, like, what? Why are they 12th and Georgia is 9th? That's fucking idiotic.
No idea. But yeah, I mean, I honestly, even the shitty Pac-12 teams haven't done anything. Like, they've done more than Georgia has. So, just insane to me.
Yeah, like, I'd put BYU above Georgia, even though they haven't really played anybody.
Oh, yeah, hands down. I'd have BYU forever above Georgia with this.
Yeah. I mean, at least Northwestern and Cincinnati are higher, because if they were lower than Georgia, I'd be a little upset about that. But I don't know. Like, I remember reading a comment the other day that we're like a couple games of guys not getting COVID, and then some nerdy or purple guys that's all between us and Ohio State going to the playoffs this year. So that was kind of funny. Because, yeah, I didn't even know that the Big Ten made a statement that you have to play at least 6 games to make the playoffs. I mean, to make the championship game. So if Ohio State has any of their games canceled, then they can't make the championship game.
Is that? Yeah, that's right, because they already had one canceled. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like they'll find a way around it still.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the playoff committee would probably still put them in the playoffs, even if they don't win the championship game, because the playoff committee doesn't give a fuck about, you know, that kind of stuff.
I think the Big Ten would find a way to work things out. Yeah. They'd be like, oh, we'll change the rules for this. They'll find a way to get them in.
They would bump the conference championship game by a week.
Exactly. They'd do something to make sure Ohio State – they're not going to knock Ohio State out of the championship game if they – don't have to.
Yeah, I will be the biggest Northwestern fan of all time in that game. Like, you, I will put on purple. I'll look like fucking Barney, bro. Like, I don't care. Like, Northwestern will be the greatest team of all. If we hypothetically do not make the playoffs and Northwestern beats Ohio State, I will be a Northwestern fan for 4 games. Like, for 4 weeks, whatever. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, let's go. Because I do not think that any Big 10 or Pac-12 team deserves to go to the playoff this year, regardless of whether or not they go undefeated, because I don't think they've played enough games. So,
I don't agree with that. I think that for most of those teams, I mean, like, so say it's Northwestern and they get all their games in and they, you know, win the championship game. I mean, at 8-0, is that really that substantially different from having played 8 conference opponents? A conference?
That's fine, because they'd be like, what, 8-0, you said? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a couple games back from where we'd be. But, I mean, Ohio State might be 7-0. Might be. I don't know. They have to play the next 3 games, and there's a chance one of them could get canceled because, you know, the fact that COVID is, like, rampant right now through the Big Ten.
Again, at 7, I mean, like, that's
so. What if it's a 7-0 Ohio State team that's won the championship game? Like, they're 7-0. That's including a championship win, right? But then you have like teams like, you know, let's say Florida is, you know, how many games we have left? We have 3 more games left. So let's say we're 9-2, or you know, like, fuck. Cincinnati is like 12-0 or some shit. Like, yeah. You know, like, I don't know. I said from the beginning of the season, I don't even think that there should even be a playoff this year because of how weird this season is. But, you know, no one agreed with me on that either. And I just don't like having asterisks. And I feel like if Ohio State plays the less amount of games than everyone else, here's the thing. I think they should play an equal amount of games. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like if Alabama and Clemson and Notre Dame are in the playoffs with like 10 to 11 games and Ohio State's only in there with 7, that's a significant competitive advantage that Ohio State has based off rest.
Yeah,
but I don't know
if it's that significant though, because I mean, like, all of these teams will have been playing for the last whatever 6 or 7 straight weeks of the season without a bye week generally. And it like, I mean, again, it's in a normal season, a team like Ohio State is going to play, what, 9 quality opponents and then like 3 cupcakes. So we're dropping from 9 quality opponents to 7 quality opponents, and that's like going to disqualify them from the playoff. I don't really buy that. I mean, that it seems like an artificial impediment to me.
I don't see an issue.
I will agree. If you apply that same thing to the Pac-12, for me, that line would get down to around the 6 game mark. I think that's a reasonable thing to say once a team gets down to around 6 total games. And with the Pac-12, I mean, like, those teams suck. I mean, you know, it's they could play 6 or 7 games, but those aren't quality opponents of the same caliber you're going to get in the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, even the Big 12, in my opinion.
I mean, if you look at 2018 Clemson, they got to make the playoffs by only playing 2 ranked teams, including NC State and Boston College. That's it. They had a couple of cupcakes and like the G5 teams, but they played like one of the easiest schedules in history. The ACC championship game was against Pittsburgh, who was, hold on, I'm pulling it up. I think they're a 5 loss team that year.
They were like 8-5 or something like that, 7-5.
Yeah. Well, I can't pull it up right now because ESPN sucks. But yeah, we'll go with 7-5. Like, they got to play this 5 loss team. So, I mean, it's just, I've seen easier schedules. So Ohio State, they've, you know, I mean, it's not like the hardest schedule or anything, but if they get through undefeated, and it's not like they're playing 5 games, I don't see an issue. And yeah, I'd have them ahead of 2 loss Florida. I'd have them ahead of an undefeated Cincinnati, because and G5 teams, you're gonna have to really,
I mean, that was
really luck into it.
That was a stretch putting Cincinnati in there, but like, I don't know. I just I don't know. I feel like, and maybe I'm in the minority. I feel like, and it's okay if I'm in the minority, you know. And I'm not saying your guys' opinions or thoughts about it are invalid at all. I just think that if you really want to have a playoff, then everyone who is eligible to enter the playoffs must have everything equal. They must have an equal amount of games played, in my opinion. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, and I also think that you should have to be a conference champion. Like, I'm not okay with non-conference champions making it. So, like, Alabama did that 1 year. So
You lost me, but that's fair. Toph, I'm sick of Hammer invalidating our opinions. I don't know about you.
I didn't say
you
guys' opinion was invalidated. I didn't say that at all.
No, you said the opposite. I don't have an issue with. I mean, I just want the best teams in there. Yeah. So
right.
if you have Pittsburgh win the ACC and beat Clemson that year, then you have a 5-loss Pittsburgh that could win, that could get to the playoffs.
I'm not saying that's the case. I don't think there should be an auto bid. I just think
I'm going to the extreme there, but I'm just saying if you have that happen twice, then like, what do you do?
Like, so I'm sure if there's like an 8-team playoff, then we could probably say, yeah, the best team should go in regardless of if they win or not, because there'll probably be a couple of, you know, Alabamas or Floridas that deserve to go that lost the championship game, right? But I just think if you only have a 4-team playoff right now, you're looking at there's really realistically only 4 conferences, that 4 or 5 conferences that people are really gonna pick from, then I don't know.
2, 4, 8, 16, give me the 2 best team in the championship.
I mean I'm okay with like wild cards and shit. That's what the NFL does too, but the NFL also allows like 16 teams in the playoffs. So
yeah, Zlat is a traditionalist. Just like completely do away with any like back to pre-BCS, pre-Bowl Alliance. Just like, I mean, you know, have the AP select a national championship.
BCS was cool, except you had these fucking computers trying to run shit. I mean,
yeah.
They really up when you try and let the robots take over.
Pick the national champion like at the end of the regular season. Play the bowl games for fun.
Who's got the most 5 stars? All right, they got this.
I think the national champion is whoever wins the Rose Bowl annually.
I think the Rose Bowl should be automatic disqualification. If you win the Rose Bowl, you can't be the champion.
Okay, are we done arguing about this particular subject for today?
Yeah, we could go all day. I see what you're saying. We can agree to disagree. But I at the end of the day, if Ohio State is 7-0, I would pick them over pretty much anybody else, I think. I mean, aside from like the obvious, like Alabama being undefeated or something. That's just my take.
Yep. I agree. Okay. Let's go through some of our picks from last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you sure? I always feel like I get this sense of dread every time. I'm like, oh God, how bad was I?
Yeah, I know. All right. So we picked. All right. Arkansas and LSU. Arkansas was favored by 1 point, and we were all on Arkansas.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Whoops.
You can't win them all, boys.
That's okay.
All right. So we're all a loss on that one. Bama and Kentucky. Bama was favored by 30. Zlat and I were both on Bama. Hammer, you were on Kentucky.
Yep, that was wrong decision.
Yeah. What was that? 62-3?
63-3.
Wow.
That's three more points than I thought Kentucky would score.
It's crazy that you never see a team not only cover a 30-point spread, but in fact double a 30-point spread. That's pretty impressive.
I guess this Bama team is pretty good. Probably should rank them high.
Yeah, seems like it. All right, so win for Zlat and I on that one. Let's see. Tennessee and Auburn. Did that game go?
Yep. Auburn won 30-17.
30-17.
That's pretty close to the spread, right?
That was a 10-point spread. We were all on Auburn.
All right.
So that is a win for all of us. Georgia and Mississippi State.
It was 31-24. Georgia.
And Georgia was favored by 25. So, yeah.
We all lost. Or wait, or some of us lost.
What do y'all make of JT Daniels?
He's the next coming of Matthew Stafford and should go first overall. I'm just trying. I'm just mimicking what their fucking subreddit's doing. After one game against one of the worst teams in the SEC, they're like literally, I think they all collectively pulled out their dicks and had a gigantic circle jerk with JT Daniels' picture in the middle of it. Like,
I will. Okay, I'll play the devil's advocate here just because if we were in the situation that we've been like the past 10 years where we had like McElwain and Muschamp quarterbacks, if we had a quarterback go for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, we'd be jerking off on everybody too. I mean,
that's true.
We'd be celebrating it pretty hardcore. So that is a feat in itself. But I mean, I was watching some of that game. He was just tossing it up for grabs, and he had his like 5-star receivers and tight ends go up and catch it sometimes. Like some of those stats are pretty padded. So I want to see him against like a decent team.
And I'm pretty sure they were tied going into the end of the fourth quarter, and then Georgia had to magically pull out a touchdown to win.
Yeah. I mean, well, that to me is more of an indictment on Georgia's defense. Like, you're going to let that Mississippi State team score 24 on you and keep it close through the entire game?
Yep. That's why I had Georgia covering, because I thought they could score about 30 points, and I didn't think Mississippi State would score any. So,
And a Mississippi State team that was, I mean, they were down to, like, what, 50 scholarship players or something like that? Like, that's a tough look.
And I can't remember the exact stat, but I have some Mississippi State buddies, and they were lamenting to me in the previous weeks. And there was one point where they had something like 60 or 80 offensive drives, and they had scored on 3 of them total. Like, it was the most insane stat I'd ever heard, where they just don't do shit, and they couldn't score touchdowns. Like, all the touchdowns they were scoring were all defensive touchdowns. So, yeah, to give up 3 offensive touchdowns, I believe, to that team, pretty rough.
Who is Mississippi State's defensive coordinator?
I'll find out in 1 second.
Is it Shoup?
It was Shoup. I don't know if he stayed around. I can't imagine he did.
His name is Zach Arnett.
That's not a real name. Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Zach Arnett, he was the defensive coordinator linebackers coach at San Diego State the 2 seasons prior to coming to Mississippi State as their defensive coordinator.
They were a decent team at one point.
Yeah. I mean,
he's young. Holy shit. He's like 32.
Yeah. It was impressive.
Sorry.
I mean, from like a game planning standpoint, it was impressive that they held Georgia to 8 yards rushing, which is the least that they've had in years, like decades. That's the least rushing yardage Georgia has had. So I assume their game plan was to force Georgia to throw, which is the correct thing. That's the correct thing to do in that situation.
Well, maybe it's a good thing they had JT Daniels then, because I don't think Stetson Bennett would have been able to throw for 400 yards or 4 touchdowns.
No, No. Yeah. Boy. Oh, God. Imagine if they had lost to Mississippi State. God, that would have been great.
I would have joined the circle jerk, but it wouldn't have. It would have been a sad one for Georgia, but I would have joined it.
You're the only one who took a W there, Hammer.
Oh, really?
As Latt and I were both on Georgia. You were on Mississippi State.
I was about to say, Hammer, the resident Georgia fan, but he actually took Mississippi State.
Missouri. Was that Missouri and Arkansas?
Missouri and South Carolina.
Missouri. Oh, yeah. Missouri and South Carolina.
So Missouri won 17-10.
And we picked that at Missouri -6, and we were all in Missouri. So,
yeah, that's about right.
Chalk that up as a win. And South Carolina.
I will be going against South Carolina for the remainder of this very short season.
Yes, that is the correct move. Their dead coach bounce netted them 10 points against Missouri. Clemson and Florida State did not go.
I think we could all confidently say we had this one, right?
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure it would have been pretty bad.
Well, y'all both were on Florida State, according to my notes, and I was the only one on Clemson.
Huh?
That's right. Well,
oh, yeah.
Well, I've been taking Florida State, so
because the spread was really high. The spread was like 35 points.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
That was the other game. The next one after that.
Sounds like resident Georgia fans now the resident Florida State fan to me. Ohio State and Indiana.
Ohio State won 32-35,
and they were favored by 20.5.
Indiana.
And you guys were both on the correct side, and I was not.
How dare you not take Indiana? I mean, that's offensive to me.
Yeah, man.
I take that personally.
You don't believe in the Phoenix?
I do believe in the Phoenix. And I actually, I think they're a good team. I think they're like a 9-win type of team. From what I saw of that game, that was Ohio State really disappointing, really showing some serious flaws that I was not anticipating.
Yeah. They almost pulled on Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were ahead by a good bit. And then Indiana was like, oh, we're coming back. Because I remember I was looking at the game and it was like 42-21 and it was the fourth quarter or something like that. And I was like, oh, shit. Never mind. I'm not even going to pay attention to this. And then I went to go do something else and I came back and it's like 42-35. I was like, oh, shit. That's actually a good game. And I turned it on and they lost. So I'm sorry, Indiana. It's my fault. So you were coming back and then I watched it.
Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Where is that?
Oklahoma won 41-13.
Yep.
And they were favored by 7. Zlat, you're the only one on the winning side there. Oklahoma is low-key playing some of the best football probably nationally right now. They've really turned things around since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they have. They actually look like a real team now. So I don't know what happened early on, but they seem to have corrected whatever that was.
Oh, crazily enough, the reputation being what it is, they're actually one of the teams that has been improving defensively throughout the year, which is a rarity around the nation. I think they're actually ranked ahead of us in defensive S&P right now.
Well, that's not hard to do.
Yeah. So,
but for Oklahoma, it's still crazy to hear. I mean, Oklahoma ahead of Florida.
That should make them even feel even worse. Our players, Oklahoma's got a better defense than you.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
So should Oklahoma be ranked ahead of Georgia in the college football playoff rankings right now?
Where are they ranked?
Behind Georgia. 11, I think.
They're 11, yeah. Fuck yeah. Everyone should be – Georgia should not be in the top 10. They should be 12 or 13 maybe.
Yeah, I think they should, actually, because, I mean, you could make the argument that Georgia has – their two losses have been to better teams than the teams that Oklahoma lost to. But, I mean, I think Oklahoma has beat better teams. I think Oklahoma State is better than any team that Georgia has beat. And if we're going to use eye test as part of the measurement here, which they do.
When convenient, yes.
Yeah, I mean, by the eye test, yes, Oklahoma would pump that ass right now.
But yeah, especially because Georgia seems to be declining while Oklahoma seems to be improving.
Yeah. All right. And the last one was NC State and Liberty.
Liberty.
NC State was favored by 3.5. What was the final there?
15-14.
uh,
Hugh Freeze does it again.
So I took another loss there. I think this is my worst week so far this season. And you guys got a win on Liberty. Good for you. Good for you. I'm happy for you both.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You just sit in the corner and watch us both enjoy ourselves.
There it is. I was trying to do the mental math on how we could get there.
Every week it has to happen, right? Like, you got to fit it in somehow.
Yep. I am running out of time here.
Just do quick scores for the next week. Very quick.
Yeah.
Rapid fire.
Yeah, let's do that.
I could rapid fire. No talking. Let's do this.
Yeah, go for it. And I will. Well, does anybody have the games pulled up?
I have SEC pulled up.
All right. Feed them to me. I'll write them down.
All right. Vanderbilt, Missouri. Missouri is a favorite by 15.5.
Give me Missouri.
I'll take Missouri as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go Missouri.
All right. The Iron Bowl, Alabama and Auburn. Alabama's favored by 24.5.
Alabama. No, wait.
I'm taking Auburn.
I'm taking Auburn. I'm switching to Auburn.
It's the Iron Bowl, bro. I'm taking Iron.
Auburn. Yeah. Too much crazy shit can go happen.
What was the number?
24.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Bama.
All right. Next game, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Mississippi is favored by 9.5. I'm gonna go with Ole Miss.
9.5.
I'll be at this game actually, and it says 43 degrees for that shit. Damn, that's cold.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about going to the Florida at Tennessee game next week.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Ole Miss. I think they can cover that.
Yeah, I got Ole Miss. I don't think Mississippi State stops that passing attack enough.
Yeah. Were you sorry? Hammer, were you on Ole Miss there?
Yeah, I said Ole Miss, yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Next game is LSU at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is favored by 14.5.
A&M.
Yeah, for sure. They haven't played a game in like 3 weeks, so they're ready.
Yep, I agree.
And the last one, I think we're all going to be on the same one here, but just in case, Georgia, South Carolina.
UGA is 21.5 points.
As I said earlier, I will be going against South Carolina every single week, regardless of spread, so give me Georgia.
Man.
Right?
I'm going to pick South Carolina, but they're still going to lose. But Georgia almost lost to Mississippi State, so I'm picking South Carolina.
This is the hardest decision I've ever had to make in my life.
And it doesn't even involve Muschamp. Imagine that. I guess reverberations of Muschamp.
Yeah, it's the aftermath. Boy, this game is just like a 7-Eleven stall spattered with diarrhea is what this is.
A 7-Eleven in Louisiana where they have Popeye's chickens abound. And anyways, I don't know where I'm going with this.
All right, it's time for the library card of destiny to make this decision for me. Heads is Georgia. Tails is South Carolina. Wait, hold on, I didn't get a good flip there. It's heads. I guess I'm going Georgia.
All right.
Hammer, were you on Georgia?
No, I picked South Carolina.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You want two more games? Top 25?
Sure.
All right. We got Iowa State and Texas. Texas is favored by 1 point.
Ugh. It's gross. Disgusting.
I'm going Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm not taking Texas. Fuck Texas. Fuck Tom Herbert. I'll take Iowa State.
I'll take Iowa State as well. This one should be a little bit more intriguing to pick. Notre Dame at North Carolina. Notre Dame is favored by 5.
While I'm hoping North Carolina pulls this off, I've got Notre Dame winning.
I think Notre Dame wins, but North Carolina covers. I think it's a real close game.
Yeah, I should make that clear. I've got Notre Dame winning and covering.
I'm going to pick Notre Dame to cover.
I've staked out some stupid islands over the last couple of weeks, and boy, this feels like one of those to me, but fuck it. I'm going with it.
Hey, it's all fun. We don't have anything riding on this. We got to do FSU as always. Virginia at FSU with FSU, a 9-point underdog.
Oh, damn. It says 9.5 on ESPN.
Let's pick it at 9.5, just so we don't accidentally have a push.
This one's difficult, actually, because I don't think Virginia's that good this year.
Give me FSU. I've been going FSU. I will continue.
Hmm. That is compelling.
Right? What a great argument.
Fuck, I'll take FSU as well. I still think they lose, though.
I've got to insulate myself from some risk here, so I guess I'll go FSU as well. Yeah.
Hold on, there's you know a what? Really shitty
Fuck
game.
It. Go on, Fuck yeah. it, I'm going UVA.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait, I had one more Final game answer. I wanted to pick right. here that I was really excited about. Yeah, Penn State 0-5 at Michigan 2-3.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus.
Michigan is a 2-point favorite. Interestingly enough, the weather is going to be warmer than Oxford. It's 46 degrees, or was that what it was? Either way, right around Oxford temperatures. Up in sunny, warm Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I'm picking Michigan. I just don't think Penn State's going to win a game this year.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Like, I mean, I don't really have anything against Penn State either, but God, the joy from like a team like that, just not winning a single game. It's really tough. There was a year where Notre Dame did that, where they started off and they almost lost every game.
Like, I don't think they're going to win against Michigan. Next week they have Rutgers. They might win that one, but Schiano's not a bad coach. And then they have Michigan State. I like Penn State's not guaranteed to win the rest of the season. They're not guaranteed to win the rest of the season. Like, oh man. Well,
for transparency in the pick'em, I think I took Michigan because I have Penn State losing them all. But I'm gonna flip it around because for some reason I have a feeling right now. Give me Penn State beating Harbaugh.
I got Michigan. Harbaugh's not gonna. He's not gonna let that happen.
No. Yeah, maybe.
This is the first ever. Two library card week.
Wait. Is this now the official hardest decision you've ever made in your entire life?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay. We've not surpassed it. That would have been something else. Okay. But two
still
library
Georgia,
cards.
South Carolina.
Yep. Let's do this. We're waiting in anticipation. Right. One day we'll live stream this for everybody.
Michigan is heads. Penn State tails.
All right. Do it.
It's tails. We're going Penn State.
All right. Hopefully the magical lucky was a library card, you know, does you some favors.
Hammer, were you on?
I picked Michigan.
Michigan. All right.
Hammer's really the third Harbaugh brother.
I am really.
Yeah.
My name's Cooper. Cooper Harbaugh.
Okay. I think that's all for me. That's all I've got time for. Do you guys want to do Culture Corner?
I have two quick things to say about it, so we can take as long as we want
to.
But
do you have 3 minutes, Toph, and you can say your Culture Corner.
Yeah,
and peace out.
I can do 3 minutes.
We'll just keep dragging it out. Okay, I'll be really quick. I just watched a movie, Nicolas Cage, called The Frozen Ground, serial killer thing about Alaskan serial killer, and you know it's pretty good. I actually liked it. I am a secret, somewhat Nicolas Cage fan. I think he's decent. And I think we've discussed it before, actually, if I'm not mistaken, but pretty good movie. And yeah, I'm drinking some Buffalo Trace whiskey right now, and it is nice. Delicious. Oh, nice. Delicious.
Nice. What about you, Toph? You got Culture Corner real quick?
I already did mine earlier before you were here. I watched Dallas Buyers Club. And
that's right.
Yeah.
We had some comparisons.
I have
there.
A resemblance to a character.
Nice. So I watched that movie Greenland, which came out on Amazon. It's like a disaster film with the guy that played Leonidas, who I can't remember his name for some reason right now. Gerard Butler. And it was actually really good. I was actually decently surprised at how good of a disaster movie it was. Like, it was almost like it was realistic, which was a change of pace. And then I am rewatching House of Cards because all of this political stuff that's been going on has made me want to rewatch something like that. Even though I'm not a fan of Kevin Spacey, that show is excellent and I forgot how good it was. So I'm on season two already with that.
I'm not a fan of Kevin Spacey, the human being, but he's a hell of an actor. And if you can't admit that to yourself, then you're just lying to yourself.
I almost popped in and said, what the hell? Kevin Spacey's great. But then I remembered what you were saying and why you were saying it. But yes. Yeah. I'm just thinking Kevin Spacey in roles is very good.
Kevin Spacey's a great actor. He's not a great human being. And that's fine. They're not mutually exclusive.
Indeed.
Indeed. It's a good way to close it.
Yeah. All right. That'll wrap it up for me. Enjoy your holiday weekend, fellas.
Yes. Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review it.
Yeah. Right. Review it.
Yeah. Review the shit.
Review it.
All right. We're out. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.